Wipeout was recorded in two takes in about 10 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. The format was conceived by the rhythm guitar player who thought we should do a song like Preston Epp's Bongo Rock, where there would be drums and then chords, drums and chords. The lead guitar player had been working on a melody while he was learning how to play guitar on a Fender Duosonic, and the drummer threw in a drum cadence that he had composed for the Charter Oak High School marching band because he was the leader of the drum section in high school. So that
Charter Oak
High School.
Where?
In California, in the town of Charter Oak, which was right next to Glendora. The drummer and myself went to Charter Oak High School. The three guitar players went to Glendora. So the Wipeout drum solo was intended to be played by a marching band during football halftime. That's what that is. It's a drum cadence.
Really?
And if you listen to the drum style, there's a lot of cadence drumming in the record. Okay? It was recorded in Frank Zappa's recording studio in Cucamonga, California in January of 1963. The guy that did the session was Paul Buff, who went on to invent many high-tech things for recording studios. It was recorded on a single-track machine, and the drums that the solo was played on didn't belong to the drummer. They belonged to a Cuban salsa band that was doing a session there that week. And we called Frank Zappa here recently trying to find the drums because we thought perhaps his studio might have owned them so we could put him in a Hard Rock Cafe, but nobody knows what happened to him. The song was recorded first, and then there was a question as to what the title should be, and the first suggestion was Switchblade. And the lead player had a switchblade in his pocket. He was going to click it open on microphone and say Switchblade. And they thought, well,
the radio station might frown. Okay.
So we thought, well, now we didn't intend this for a radio station. We recorded this record for the primary purpose of taking it to school and selling 500 copies and taking the money and buying amplifiers. We had no intention of releasing this record. It was done on our own private label with our manager's initials on it, DFS. So if you can find one of those, they're worth $1,000. So anyway, that's why we recorded the record. And it just accidentally made its way into Hollywood and then got released. And 6 months later, it was number one in the nation. But it was a total accident. It was a surfing term. It was just picked out of the air.
Obviously, it is.
Yeah. So the drummer was a surfer. The bass player and the lead player were just beginning to surf. They had just turned 16 and got their own car. And so we were all inlanders. We had to drive to the beach. But anyway... a cedar shingle, which had fallen off the studio's roof, was out in the back alley and was cracked over the knee to get the cracking sound. And the manager did what he called his witch cackle as the laugh. He used to do it at parties and in elevators, and it was a hilarious thing. And the crack is supposed to be the board breaking, and the laugh is the surfer laughing at himself as he falls off the board and into the water. Surfer Joe was supposed to be the A side. It was originally five verses long. And
Surfer Joe.
Yes, and they cut two of the verses out, including the last verse, which is the punchline to the story, which says after he got his hair cut and he got a cold, the song continues, but that didn't stop him or keep him away. When the surf was up, he still had his day. They caught him at the trestles down by the sea, and now poor Joe is doing KP. The trestles was a popular surfing place for surfers in Southern California, but it was illegal because the Marines owned the property, and any surfers caught there by these train trestles were run off the property, see? So it almost seems as if Surfer Joey joined the Marines for the specific purpose of surfing at trestles and getting away with it. Well, it was written by the drummer Ron Wilson. We all contributed to honing out the lyrics, kind of smoothing them out. And it was a story about Joe Conley, the bass player's older brother, who was a high school dropout and an avid surfer. And Ron just added some additional fantasy to the story. Down in Doheny, where the surfers all go, there's a big bleached blondie named Surfer Joe. He's got a green surfboard with a woody to match, and when he's riding the freeways, man, is he hard to catch. That's verse one. Verse two, which was edited out of the record.
Why?
Just for length. They never played records over 3 minutes back in those days.
Oh, I know that. So verse two, this is a verse that we never got to hear.
Yeah, this is verse two. I saw him one day flying down the road with 26 surfboards and a 100-pound load. I knew where he was heading, trying to reach the playground of the surfers, Doheny Beach. That's verse number two. Verse number three is...
Now, verse three we heard.
Yeah. Yeah, he went down to Huntington Beach 1 week for the annual surfers convention meet. He was hanging five. When the meet was over, the trophy was Joe's. That's verse three. Verse four is, Surfer Joe joined Uncle Sam's Marines today. They stationed him at Pendleton, not far away. They cut off his big blonde locks, I'm told, and when he went on maneuvers, Joe caught cold. That's verse four. But the record shouldn't have stopped there. The original release had five verses,
Now, what we're used to hearing, stop there.
Exactly.
But what you're going to tell us, there's more to the story. Go ahead.
Yeah, this was the last verse that was cut off of the record. It goes, but that didn't stop him or keep him away. When the surf was up, he still had his day. They caught him at the trestles down by the sea, and now poor Joe is doing KP. Oh, personal favorite?
Yeah, your personal favorite. Which of the two?
Well, obviously, Wipeout is a more dynamic tune. There's an illusion that occurs with that drum solo that people seem to think it's faster than it really is, and it gets everyone worked up into a frenzy. So, but Surfer Joe was the first surfing rap song, so it's got its place, but Wipeout is definitely a good piece of entertainment.